Welcome to the Success from Scratch Show for your dose of real estate, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, sales and persuasion, and anything success. Nick Ruiz shares his real-world lessons from his 20-plus years of experience as an entrepreneur, real estate investor, and as a house flipper using his trademarked single-family triad formula. Now, here's your host who's been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, The Huffington Post, and is a two-time best-selling author, Nick Ruiz.
Okay, now we have audio. We are on the podcast as well, so that is being recorded. So, welcome to the show. We are live on YouTube at youtube.com/Nick Ruiz or on Facebook, facebook.com/AlphaHomeFlipping. Let's see, how do I get back? Okay, comments here. Leave a comment, say hi. We are doing, I'm kind of rebranding the show here, and there's a couple reasons why. You know, you guys who have been following me know I've had the Success from Scratch show for a long time, which is fun, and I still love doing it, and I love the content that I put out. But I like a lot of topics. I like talking about a lot of fun things. I love success, business, money, entrepreneurship, as you know. I like economics, and we've touched on a lot of these things. And I'm still going to talk real estate and money and all the things I specialize in, buying buildings, flipping homes. I absolutely love it to death. It's never, none of it ever feels like work to me. So I love conveying all that beautiful stuff to you guys. If you're on YouTube, by the way, and if you're on Facebook, please drop a comment, say hi. We may take a couple questions as we get into this banter session here. But my point is, Alpha Uncut allows me to expand into other topics. I've had some fun on local radio recently. I have a couple radio shows locally. One is a more of a real estate show, okay? And then another show that I've been having fun with is with my friend Perfecto here. So I wanted to introduce Perfecto Rivera, who's a good friend of mine, who I love bantering with, and he is on the show today.
Well, thank you, Nick. Fun to be here with you. You know, we've had excitement in trying to set this up for
totally.
Ourselves.
Totally, yeah.
Here we are.
We've got a lot of tech headaches here, just trying to get this going. Rick Swaim, what's up, buddy? How are you? A friend of mine, Rick, here in Texas. Good student, doing a lot of good deals in Texas. So anyways, Alpha Uncut, we're trying something different, and it just allows me to expand into a lot of the trending topics that are going on right now and how it affects you and what my take and our take is on it. Okay, there's a lot going on right now.
Well, absolutely, Nick, and there's so much to talk about. I mean, this I don't think most of us have ever been in a world that's been this crazy, you know.
It's like, crazy, and people don't know left from right. They don't know up from down. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We might wake up and who knows what news they're going to hit us with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For me, I'm an old guy here. The most disappointing part of what's going on in my life is the people that I entrusted most of my caregiving and love and so forth and connection with are people that, you know, part of my family that, it's like those are the ones that have been the most distant from me.
Yeah.
It's like
they're getting mad at you.
It's been hurtful.
People are separated, divided, and craziness. So, you know, again, we're still going to talk money, entrepreneurship, real estate, and success. Okay. That's my core expertise just in life. But again, I've been talking more on the local radio about kind of the trending topics, intriguing topics of the current times we're in. I like talking about it and bantering with people about it. So there may be some interesting guests coming up, but I want to get into some of the local stuff. I mean, some of the trending stuff that's going on right now. I mean, I read a lot. I read a lot of books, articles. I love the Wall Street Journal. There's a lot of
most definitely.
It's one of my favorite publications, I'll be honest with you.
I think for me, it's the edgiest, given the times right now, and they have been for a long time, but right now, it's like, okay, you know, people need to wake up of what's happening, what's going on around them.
Yeah, and there's some money stuff, and I want to get into a couple things right away here. So household wealth, we'll get right into it. So household wealth rose before the crisis. So U.S. families' income and wealth rose in the years heading into the coronavirus pandemic, with those in lower income and lower wealth categories reaping relatively large gains, the Federal Reserve said in a report on household finances. As property and stock prices increased, households' median net worth or wealth rose 18% to $121,700 from 2016 to 2019. according to the Fed survey of consumer finances released on Monday. The report is produced every 3 years. Median household income, the level at which half are above and half are below, rose 5% to $58,600 before taxes and adjusted for inflation. The rise in incomes came as the economy grew 2.5% a year on average, inflation remained low, and unemployment rate fell. So, I mean, I can continue here.
Well, Nick, when is the last time that has happened, you know, in such a string of years under a president?
We've been doing really well. I agree. I mean, the last few years, I mean, obviously the virus caused things to shut down. Things shut down because of the virus. But with that being said, pre-virus, we were at peak levels. I mean, people were working.
Most
of all races, nationalities, background, everybody was freaking working.
And as our friend, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce CEO Jorge Franco has indicated on my show that I host, is that through this stuff and with this president, low and moderate incomes are the ones that have grown the fastest. You know, and they want to pretend that. That those are the communities that are being hurt the most.
This is data and statistics. So. Nobody's making this up. Like you said, low and median rose. I'm looking here. Low and median income has risen. You know, everyone likes to paint this picture of just the wealthy have, exponentially grown in the last few years. The wealthy people made money too. But the point is, it wasn't just the wealthy. It was all classes of people.
By percentage,
have been doing
the
better.
Lower income and moderate incomes were the ones
much
that were growing
percentage.
At a much higher percentage than they've ever had in the past.
Yeah. It's a shame what happened. I mean, this is an artificial recession. There's no other way to put it. You know what I mean? Like, this recession was not, based on just fundamentals collapsing the market. Or like in 2008, I lived through the big crash, the real estate crash of 2008. Inflated values based on fake appraisals, based on banks being super loose, giving anyone mortgages, which clearly shifted supply and demand. The banks had a situation where anybody, come on in the door, I'll give you a mortgage. That created more buyers than there were sellers. So more buyers come in, drive prices up. People who couldn't afford those mortgages stop paying.
Guess what?
Foreclosures, boom, flooded the market. And then supply was the large and demand was the low, okay? There was a ton of supply after those people started defaulting. And even worse, they were defaulting because of the fact of really risky loans that had a very short ARM period. So they'd go from a 7% rate to a 12% rate in a year. Pay option ARMs, there's very exotic financing back then. And that created the flood of foreclosures, which again, depressed the prices and create the crash, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of you listening know what I'm talking about.
Well, Nick, I was in the banking business for those years. I was I had a good position with a local bank here, and I remember all that because I also provided home buying counseling sessions to customers of ours. That was one of my jobs because I'm bilingual. We were located in a strong bilingual environment and neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, but I remember at that time that what happened was all these people that were doing financing for home buyers sort of like fell out of like the bank environment because all they sprung up in places that, you could go to XYZ, a local community center, and they've established somebody there that's going to be able to give you a business or rather, a home loan.
Yeah.
So the proliferation of people that in actuality could not afford to buy a home, were expanded because the government wanted banks to, provide greater opportunity. But in fact is that hurt the economy and that hurt those families that ended up, they owned a home for maybe 3 years and suddenly it was all gone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's.
And their dream was gone with that.
It was really tricky and a lot of people had a tough time navigating, including myself. But the reality is at a point we are now economically, there's been a lot of growth. Again, pre-COVID. There's been a lot of growth and a lot of healthy situations in the financial worlds for all ends of the spectrum.
And it's coming
back
real fast.
From low, middle, high. Yes. The recovery is obviously bigger and better than a lot of people expected, which is beautiful. Okay. I want to touch on something else here. We have a couple points to talk about. We covered the household wealth and kind of just the general situation there. We'll touch on the stimulus check really fast, because a lot of people are wondering, is there going to be another stimulus? Are we getting another check?
I've heard that we will get.
So I look here and I go, Democrats unveil new $2.2 trillion relief bill. House Democrats released a $2.2 trillion coronavirus relief package that would restore the $600 a week jobless benefits as a last ditch effort to revive stalled talks with the White House. $2.2 trillion. But you know, the Republicans are having an issue with the fact that it's a lot of deficit spending and maybe a lot of unneeded spending. So, it looks like the Democrats are trying to push this through. I think it's a give and take though, because again, you know, giving someone an extra $600 a week doesn't incentivize them to go back to work. Right.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. You know,
and I mean, people need money, but I mean, we have to balance this here.
And we have to balance it very carefully, because, you know, I've mentioned this in my history and with my friends, is that, you know, the other side, if I can say, the Democrats historically have wanted to give poor people or whatever, people that they want to control, sort of candy, you know, whether it's welfare, whether it's this or whatever.
Yeah.
But they don't want to give them real opportunities.
Well, it creates dependence.
Exactly. They want that sense of dependence. You know, you rely on us, but the backside is, okay, we expect you then to vote for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For example, for me, all of this stuff right now is, the public school situation, you know, in education is,
yeah.
How is it that one side does not want black and brown and poor kids to go to champion schools, you know, if you will, a choice schools where parents are involved, where the communities are involved, and they're teaching them to be successful and skillful for their future, rather than giving their families pittances, you know, to keep their kids dumb and happy. Basically, that's what I see has happened in public education. You know, having worked the system myself many years ago as a paraprofessional, it's like,
yeah, why can't the families have the choice?
Exactly.
School choice. You know, it's like I go back to the capitalistic free market viewpoint, and we've talked about this before. When businesses compete, the consumer wins. When schools can compete, which it's hard for them to do that with this governmental monopoly they have over schools, if schools compete, the students win. Like, this is common sense. But again, nationalizing schools, having the government have their hands so deeply interwoven in these schools and forcing funding only one direction, that's unreasonable, unfair, and guess who loses? The freaking students and the parents. School choice.
Right.
Is the answer.
And the families that have the wherewithal, they will send their kids to, you know, better schools. An example that I've given in the past is that I have friends, relatives, I will say relatives, in fact, that are now retired school teachers. You know, they grew three young, beautiful children and successful, but they worked as public school in the education system. They're teachers, but they never sent any of their three children to public schools, you know? And so it's
the
like,
proof is in the pudding.
What a dichotomy. It's
right.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Oh, but they were all about, you know, schools, public schools, because they gained that benefit because, hey, very few careers will offer that kind of retirement benefits and or,
yeah.
Health benefits and whatever. So, I mean, yeah.
But they didn't truly believe in that system that they worked in because clearly they didn't send their own children through it. That's common sense.
Well, real quickly.
It's like if I build a bunch of Ford, if I'm Henry Ford and I build Fords, but then in the background, me and my family all drive Chevys. Like, well, so you don't believe, like, you follow me? Like, wait, why are you all driving Chevys? You guys build Fords. Proof is in the pudding.
Well, on that note, Nick, people can see this and find this on the internet. Just check out how many public school teachers that have school-age kids send their kids to public schools.
Yeah.
No.
It's probably a low
percentage. The majority
of
them send them to private schools and all that, because they know the ropes.
Yeah. By the way, guys, if you're on Facebook and YouTube, please share this with a friend. We don't do any marketing, so please share it. I just want to loop back around. So basically, going back to the dependence we talked about. So the stimulus. So
those checks.
The Democrats do want to extend this $600 unemployment benefit. And again, do Americans need money that are in real tough times? Yes. But do we really need to add an additional $600? Again, the conflict in the beginning was these people, by the time you have unemployment plus the additional unemployment, they're making more than
Well, that's working. Why they don't want to go to work.
Why would you get off your couch? Why would you go look for a job? the check in your mailbox that's 20 feet away from you is bigger than what you'd make if you actually had to go to work. So that's always the issue I've had.
People need to have incentive.
Empower people. Don't make them dependent. Empower them to be independent. That's the beauty of this whole country. I get to wake up in the morning and be independent. And here's the deal. There are people who are not able-bodied, and there are people who are not able-minded. I believe they need help. Like true assistance has its place. There are people who genuinely can't stand up physically or can't think straight mentally. And those challenged people deserve help. I agree. No one should ever be stranded on an island. But what I'm saying is, why are we handicapping people?
Right. You and I learned
them.
You and I learned from our families to help.
We're breaking their legs and then throwing them crutches and say, I'm going to save you. Yeah. Take my crutches. I'm going to save you. Well, you broke my friggin' legs. Of course I need crutches. But it looks pretty in a photo op. Here's your crutches, sir. Right, yeah. Even though I broke them on the outside of the picture.
Yeah. And where I was going with is that your family and our family, we learned early in life that you do care for the less fortunate.
No question.
But don't create
the less fortunate. Don't create the less fortunate, which is creatable. There's a lot of quote-unquote less fortunate that have been architected that way. Mm-hmm. Like going back to what you said, dependence. People need to be empowered. If you are empowerable, which 99% of the population, you know what I mean? Again, there are truly people who are disabled mentally or physically, and those people can't be empowered. And I believe they should be taken care of. Yeah, I believe there's a lot of private charity, by the way, that can also be involved.
And we support those charities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as far as the stimulus goes, and are we going to get another check? Like, Americans need help. I hope the government wises up and makes sure we know. Let's give them what they need, but let's also incentivize true productivity. Remember, the bottom line is the government doesn't create money. Like, this is deficit spending, okay? The government doesn't create money. People do. The economy does. Private productivity creates economic growth. A lot of people are confused that the government's like daddy and can solve our problems. No, they don't produce or do anything.
Well, that daddy's trying to be a bigger daddy to those people them more dependent, you know.
Great father. You want to talk about daddy?
There you go.
I feel like my job as a father is to make sure I build the proper wings on my daughters so they can fly away. How many? I can't carry them. I carry them when they're young.
Sure.
But my point is, my whole goal as a father is to make sure they have the right strength to go off independently. If they can be fully independent in life, successfully independent, I feel like I did the right job, or wrong.
That's a great analogy, Nick. You know, you've helped them expand and grow those wings, you know, and that was your goal, and now they have those, and hey, they can experience their own freedom and their successes.
I feel like I failed. If my daughters go into their 20s and 30s still dependent on me, I did something wrong. Why is the government any different? Empower your people. And you don't do that by handing them things.
With regard to the stimulus check, okay, understand what's happened with this COVID
stuff. The artificial problem.
Right. As long as people understand that this can't go on because long term it's going to hurt them more than the short term benefit.
Don't get used to it. Right. We need a quick little bounce and boom, let's all be productive again.
Let's get it.
Which we all can be. Guys, share this. Robin Taylor says, entrepreneurship, she's commenting here on Facebook, entrepreneurship needs to be taught in school. I'm an independent. Neither side is going to be able to assume they have my vote. Well, regardless of who you vote for, again, I agree that more and more entrepreneurial independence needs to be taught. The problem is, I don't think our system is set up to produce entrepreneurs. We're set up, the school system is set up to produce just, you know, random factory workers or, you know, like do what you're told type people. So a lot of independent thinking and entrepreneurial thinking, which is under the independent thinking mindset, does have to be taught at home, especially these days. That's why I homeschool. By the way, that's why homeschooling is skyrocketing. People want their kids to think independently and be entrepreneurs and be independent economically.
And the schools want to teach them to acquiesce to anything the government wants them to do. You should acquiesce. Oh, just be nice. I'm a good person and I want to be nice to everybody, but you know, I'm combative when somebody tells me that I have to do something their way. No.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, you know.
Not in this country.
I'm too independent, you know, and if that's good for you, you want to be, but this is my new word in life. If you want to be the wimp, fine, okay, but I have never been that, yeah. And nor do I want to be a wimp.
Well, Robin also added here, there's a method to the madness with keeping black and brown people on government assistance, incentivizing broken homes, keeping the men out of the household. She's right.
Oh, this has been architected for what, 40, 50 years.
This has been architected at the highest level, okay? Oh. Where, yes, if you keep a man out of the house, like Robin's saying, then the woman needs to be dependent on the government, and there they go with their thumb, and they're controlling people. So she has a very good point, which, by the way, I definitely agree with and have talked to me. I've been talking about this for years, right.
You can find this historically that, you know, in the black family, you know, in the 30s and beyond, and earlier, the male was, you know, there in greater numbers and percentages than other ethnic groups.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't
whites
until the
had more
welfare,
kids out of wedlock than blacks did.
Exactly.
Back then.
And but then the welfare system, and then telling them, oh, you can have another child, but you know, we don't know who the man is and who supported you, but you'll get a bigger check. You know,
it's sad that it was architected.
It's ruined, you know, that community, and not just that community, but other minority communities that fall into that trap of, hey, I'm going to get a government check, you know, but oh, I have to hide my husband, or you know, he's got.
I know. Or we have to be sneaky, and right. I've seen all this. I've landlorded in the inner cities, and there's always like sneaky games and just, you know what I mean? It's like, it's something else, man. Kyle Litwin says, the school system is set up to put people in debt and learn to always be dependent on someone else. And I would say I have to wholeheartedly agree with that.
Most definitely.
I mean, well put. I won't even add to that. That's 100% agreed. So let's move on, Perfecto, to the next
segment.
Thank
you for that comment.
Yeah, thank you. What do we have? I want to get to the taxes that affect all of us. Rich, poor, or in between, taxes matter to all of us. Okay. Robin says she homeschools also. Beautiful. I love homeschooling. It's such a smart play. Congrats to you, Robin. I love it. My kids love it. And I'm not going to let some school system indoctrinate my children. You know, education is one thing, indoctrination is another.
And that's what we've been seeing in the public schools.
So GOP lines up more tax cut plans. So I'm going to cut, you know, I don't have both like candidates' full tax plans in front of me, nor do I want to go through them line by line. I want to highlight some specific points that stood out to me that matter to people listening. Okay, let's see here. So Mr. Trump, who faced Democrat Joe Biden in the first presidential debate Tuesday, also said he would cut the top capital gains tax rate to 15% from 20%. Okay. That matters. Okay. Right now, so long-term capital gains is when you purchase an asset and sell it a year or more later for a gain. Okay. A profit. So if you buy a house for $100,000 today, and you sell it for $150,000 a year or more later, you have a $50,000 gain. This is not ordinary income. That's a different thing. Long-term capital gains. So right now it's 20%. Okay. So if I make $50,000 on a house that I've owned for more than a year, 50K times 0.2, I pay $10,000 to Uncle Sam. That's the current rate. Trump wants to drop it to 15%. Beautiful.
So, beautiful is right.
So if I make 50K, now I only pay $7,500. Now, the reality is this. This is just so true. I've been an entrepreneur my entire adult life. The less money I send to the government, the more economically productive I am. What do I mean by economically productive, Perfecto? I take on more people. I hire more employees. What does that do? Another employee gives another person a paycheck that gets to go out to Target and buy towels and goes to Home Depot to buy themselves a microwave, that hires the landscaper to fix all the bushes in front, and then that landscaper gets the bushes and then he makes the money. You follow me?
I do, absolutely.
Period. And a lot of people don't understand this basic economic principle. The less money Uncle Sam robs me of, the more I put into the economy, going back to the fact that the government doesn't do anything. They don't produce anything. They don't make money. They don't do it. Citizens do it. So I hire someone. Okay. On top of that, The less money I give to Uncle Sam in my business, I go out and buy more buildings, which creates more quality households for quality tenants. I might go out and buy an extra flip because I have the money for it. So now I take a dumpy house in a neighborhood, improve it, and make the neighborhood happy and infuse into my local community more productivity. And on it goes.
Well, Nick, what you just said is like, it's historically truth, because remember when John F. Kennedy lowered the tax rates on all Americans, guess what? The government collected more money.
Yeah.
They collected more money because entrepreneurs like you and others were creating jobs, opportunities. And, you know, I can remember those days. And I'm going back to, for example, for me, Jimmy Carter's the guy Jimmy Carter's the guy that, you know, I switched parties because my brother and I were, Julio and I were running a business and employing 12 people.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're the bad guys. You know, is now to get a business loan from the local bank, now I was paying three times the interest rate that I was paying before.
You were being penalized for succeeding.
For succeeding, exactly.
There was a penalty for success. Does that make any sense?
Not at all.
If you're going to get up out of bed and do the hard work of building a business, which, by the way, building a business is hard. Like, hard. It's so hard. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. In fact, even like the great Steve Jobs said it best, and I love what he said because it's so true. When you're going to build a business, you better damn sure make sure you love it and love it a lot. Because what's going to happen is it's so hard that your logical brain will tell you, you have to quit. This is too hard. You follow me?
Sure.
But your passion and love for what you do is what allows you to supersede that logical brain. Your brain is going to be like, stop. You're taking a beating. You're being a punching bag right now. You're losing money. You're stressed out. You need to stop.
Right.
Most passion and love for what you do is what breaks through. Period.
Well, most ever. So
you're being penalized. You have 12 employees, and he says, you know what? Pay us more.
In the business environment, so you're paying lower taxes, but you're employing more people. You're creating more opportunity. So in our case, for example, now
more producers.
Right. So in our case, it wasn't just myself and my brother paying taxes. We had now 11 other employees that were also paying taxes, you know, because we created that opportunity. And not to circle around us, but I mean, entrepreneurs have created thousands of jobs. You know, our president, for example, they wanted.
But you were just a small example of a small business that had 12 families
and
had
they became
put food
family.
On their table. That had to hire people to do stuff for them, that went over to the grocery store to give the grocery store money, which allowed them to be profitable, which allowed them to infuse back in the economy. When are people going to realize
that's the cycle,
that the private free market economy is what matters when it comes to money? The government printing money and sending you money, that's a Band-Aid that we have to pay back. Okay, nothing was produced there except inflation, which is a whole nother issue, which we won't dive deep into today. But they don't create anything. We're the creators. And God bless America for allowing us to be creators, because most places in the world, you're deeply under a thumb where you don't have the free thinking ability to create. Someone tells you this is against the rules. That's against the rules. Do it my way or the highway.
That's why the smart people
guys share
in this
if
world.
You're on Facebook, you're on YouTube, whether you're watching it live or recorded, share it, give a thumbs up. We're going to do more of this. Continue.
You know, Nick, what you just said, what I want to make a comment is this country, you know, land of opportunity. That's why regardless of what color you are, wherever you are in the world, people that are smart and entrepreneurs and want to grow their lives want to come here to create opportunities for them. Because
capitalism is agnostic to color, race, creed, et cetera. So if you make a badass product, I don't care who you are or what you are.
Right.
You could have a completely different ideology or background than me, but if you hand me something that makes my life better, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you money.
Yeah. And I don't care.
And I'm going to tell my friends to give you money.
I don't care what race or creed or whatever you are.
It's the free market. You give me something I like, I give you money. A consensual transaction. For those of you listening, you know, we got a little freeze up here. I don't know what happened here. Looked like something's frozen. That was weird. We are still on the audio. So if we froze up, oh well. We are going to
check it out and see if how much of this is getting picked up yet, right?
You know what? We are going to You know, we're going to end the video. So the good news is we are still on audio. The show is continuing. Nothing has stopped on audio. We had a little glitch on our streaming platform. But guys, make sure you go to YouTube and Facebook and share and like it and do all that. But we are still on, just not video anymore. Let's open this up here. So the podcast is still on. Okay, which fabulous. I think is the main. By the way, if you're make sure you guys give us a rating and review. I'm telling you, this is a different format. I love bantering with my friend Perfecto. We're probably going to do more of this. And at the end of the day, if this goes well and I get the right ratings, reviews, and shares, we might start bringing on guest authors and all kinds of people.
That would be ideal.
We have a cool studio here to put more people in here. We can connect with them remotely, Perfecto. So we can talk about a lot of topics. We can talk about alien conspiracies. No, okay. But I mean, literally, like I'm an intrigued guy. I like a lot of stuff. A lot of things intrigue me. I have intriguing conversations in real life. I'm always bantering with someone about really cool stuff. So I'm like, and people have said like, Nick, when I've touched on stuff, they're like, talk more about this on your show. So that's why I'm kind of rebranding the show. It's more of a, just a change in the game to just, yes, I'm going to focus a lot still on business and money and real estate. And there's going to be episodes for that. Maybe I'll go by myself and talk about more of that stuff. But I like talking about what's going on in the world right now. And what people are thinking about.
Well, Nick, you're a really well-read person, you know, well-educated, you know, in particular on free market and entrepreneurship, you know, given what you've been doing in your life.
I would say it's one of my top passions.
Well, and you're passionate about it, and that's why people love to hear what you have to say. You have an opinion that has great value, and people that maybe don't do the reading and education that, you know, they would like to do, I think you've sort of narrowed a gap for them and say, hey, I've heard that before. Now I better understand it.
No, I know. And that's, if I can just plant the little seed of an idea of like, hey, that is a good way to look at it. You know what I mean? I'm a true free market capitalist. You know, I believe in having companies compete so consumers win. I believe in schools competing, as we touched on, so students can win. I like consensual transactions. Okay?
Sure.
Nobody needs to be forced. And with choice, nobody needs to be forced. I like consensual transactions.
And what I don't understand, it's just hard for me to comprehend. Why would politicians not want to give children or families choice schools, better schools in essence?
Well, they want control. Clearly, they want control over the whole regime. They want control over the indoctrination. They want control of the process of how young people.
How can people not see that,
though? I know. There's so much. But good question, Perfecto. And you know what? I literally ask this question daily. When I think about what's going on, when I see what's happening, I'm like, how do people not see that? And then tomorrow, then something else, I'm like, how do people not see that?
Right.
The hypocrisy over here. How do people not see that? That's how potent the indoctrination is and the propaganda machines that are out there right now. The potency of propaganda and brainwashing right now is so strong. It's actually scary as hell.
When I was a young boy, you know, reading newspapers, you know, I'm talking about, you know, delivering papers and that kind of stuff, or picking papers up and learning to read, if you will.
Yeah.
It was like, it was a lot different then because there was a trust factor in what you're reading.
Yeah.
And now it's all, how can we turn you in our direction?
It's all narrative.
Because, it's...
A friend of mine, some guy, you know, hit me yesterday, he messaged me on Facebook with some cheap shot propaganda nonsense. I'm like, listen, man. And he's like, you don't trust a lot of journalists. So I don't, I'm like, dude, objective journalism is dead. Right. Period. Like, it's all narrative. It is narrative, agenda, propaganda. That's it. It's narrative to an agenda. It's propaganda to an agenda. You know, there's some objectivity. I do think the Wall Street Journal is one of the more objective, factual papers, you know, just I love reading their articles, and there's just not spin to them. There's other articles too. This is my preference. It's just delivered to my house every day, and I do corroborate these facts. It's not like I read an article and I literally think it's God speaking. These are people writing articles, but I do corroborate things that I care about, and it's just plain. I make sure it's fact.
Kind of, where do they get those facts? You know, are they true?
I look.
Do they align with what's happening right now?
I can't read one article and be like, that was Bond from God, and I'll go to bed, you know, dying off of those words.
Let me change something, Nick, real quick here, because of where we're going with this, with regard to, for example, California, reading the paper, you know, in 2035, they're going to ban gasoline vehicles. Okay.
Yep.
What people do not understand is the energy that it takes to build one of those cars emissions free on the front end will generate more carbon emissions generating that than what that car will generate in its lifetime if it was a gas automobile. Because, okay, the engines, for example, the batteries in those cars, they don't create energy. I mean, they don't create more electricity. Electricity to generate and then recharge those batteries has to be coming from some other source. So their grid electrical source, so instead of going to the gas station to, quote, plug in for some gasoline, you're going to go plug in to get some generated electricity in all this. Now, who is going to be generating that kind of electricity for millions and millions of automobiles?
It introduces a whole nother series of problems.
Exactly.
So it's not like, okay. So it's not like, here's the answer, gavel pounded, we're done. No, it's not that simple. Yeah. As you just conveyed, there's a lot more to it than that.
There's
a deeper energy crisis than just, let's stop doing gas cars. It's not that simple.
So if they study what it really takes, all the energy that it takes to create that technology and then put those in cars, that creation of that technology has created more carbon.
Yeah, it's like, what are we doing here?
More problems than just let it be.
So it's like, why is that not just a legitimate conversation that can be talked about? But it's all this authoritarian, this is the way it's going to be, period. No, we have to have a discussion.
Because it sounds good to them.
It sounds good. Well, that's the classic, if you read Thomas Sowell, great thinker of our time. He's an economist. He's written a lot of books. I love Thomas Sowell. And he's like, the best thing about socialism is that it sounds good. The worst thing about socialism is that it actually doesn't work. They're just words. Like the utopian idea of socialism where everyone gets everything for free and we all live in peace and harmony, that literally doesn't align with human nature. It cannot happen. It sounds great for all of us to just have this utopia where we barely have to work, we have universal income, and we can just hug each other and meditate and, be happy-go-lucky and the whole deal. That's physically just not possible. So it's like, to me, that argument's dead, but so many people are fighting for this agenda that is impossible. It's unfinanceable. It just can't happen.
It's been proven.
But it sounds good. Everything's for free, people.
It sounded good in Cuba, didn't it?
It sure did. It sounded good in Cuba. Look at what happened there.
And
free healthcare, free college, et cetera, et cetera. Those are huge red flags that when people start throwing everything at you for free, like, you should be scared. And not because of you and I saying you should be scared. Study history.
Right.
Look at the steps. Look at the things that led up to collapse, authoritarian regimes, big regime changes, etc.
And historically,
it started off sounding great. And then boom. It's like these Marxists. People want to be Marxists and revolutionaries, these young people thinking they're going to revolutionize things. What people don't understand is those revolutionaries, when the true Marxists take over in a regime change, they kill all those revolutions.
Exactly.
They're like, we don't want you guys who overthrow governments to overthrow us, so we will kill you. I mean, study history.
And people, that's what history has shown us.
Right. Why would this be any different? Let's overthrow the United States and be socialist and blah, blah. You know what's scary? The classic, that could never happen here comment. That's scary because the United States is not immune to a regime change.
Well, you see what's happening in the world here right now with all these riots and that they're calling peaceful protests, burning down their own cities.
100 days of riots in Portland.
And speaking of Portland, I have a relative that lives out there who was visiting here, and we made a comment, well, what's happening in Portland? And his comment was, well, that's down the block. It's like, oh, because it's not affecting your neighborhood, it seems to be okay.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's just down on XYZ Street.
Yeah, No. I'll tell you what, that's down like 10 states away from me, and I care a lot.
Exactly.
And I'm living states and states and states away from it, and I care a lot. It's sad. It's sad. What I want to touch on, remember we talked about, we kind of spun off, and that's the beauty of banter. That's the beauty of having you here, because we can go on these tangents. We talked about, this all stemmed from Trump's dropping 20% to 15% capital gains, the productivity, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
So I wanted to jump into Biden's plan, and I don't know all of it, but I know a couple very firm facts. So Biden wants to do a couple things, and this should scare anybody. Okay, especially if you're in the entrepreneurial business, real estate space. He wants to jump long-term capital gains tax, if you're making over $1 million a year, to 39.6%. So he wants to double it.
So he wants to kill us off.
So wait, you had the fortitude to wake up, push through, grow a business, employ people, take massive financial risk that 99% of people are not willing to do. And once you break through and actually succeed, when a lot of people fail, by the way, so you weeded out all of that and you succeeded. You put your stake in the ground. Now when you arrive, there's a penalty.
Penalize you.
There's a penalty upon arrival. It makes me sick. It makes me sick that you penalize the person that went through all of that to get to that arrival point, and then you want to whack me.
Exactly.
No.
So there's the incentive.
And by the way, people say, well, I don't make a mil a year, Nick. So, well, then your long-term capital gains, and again, there was some equation that it had to break into, but around 33.4%.
Gosh.
So when you buy that house for 100 grand and sell it a year later for 150, yay, you did it. You took a risk that no one was willing to take, and you made out 33. I'll assume most people listening make less than a million a year. 33%. So when you make 50 grand, what is that? 15,000, 18,000, whatever it is, 33% of your money goes away. So you have the government's your third partner. Think about that. Yeah. 33%. That means you go out and build a business and you have a partner who owns 33% of your company with taking no risk. That's thievery. Stop it. Stop it right now. I hate that part. I hate Biden's tax plan. You know what else he wants to do? Biden wants to eliminate the stepped up basis clause in the tax plan. Now, this is a little more sophisticated. I don't know if you're going to get this. I mean, you're going to get it, but I'm saying I don't know if you're savvy on it. Okay. So what happens is this. We have a situation where if I buy a house for $100,000 and I sell it for $150,000, I can do something that's called a 1031 exchange. Some people in my audience know this, but basically I can defer that $50,000 gain as long as I don't touch those proceeds of $50,000 and apply it to a new, bigger building. Again, incentivizing productivity. Mm-hmm. I'm buying a bigger building, taking a bigger risk, taking on more people to manage it, supplying more people with housing. So it's a great incentive plan to keep growing as a company, growing and being a real producer in the economy.
You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, but I'm giving to the economy. I'm feeding the economic machine. So what happens is then let's say I buy it for 100, I sell it for 150, and then I take the 50K and I put it down on a $300,000 building. Okay, now and let's say 2 years after that, I sell that building for 400. Now I have now I made $100,000 profit. As long as I sell it, as long as I continue to do those 1031 exchanges and commit to buying bigger buildings, I can keep deferring that tax. I never have to pay the capital gains tax. I can defer it. It's not tax-free.
Sure.
It defers it to a later date. And then let's say down the road after defer, and I have this big building and I say, you know what? I want to sell this building. It does recapture all those deferences, and then you do have to pay the full gain to the government from all those years of deferring, which is fine. But
if that percentage rate is...
Well, hold on though.
Okay.
Here's the deal. If I die, my kids get that property at a stepped up basis, it's called, which means all that deference gets wiped out. That's a beautiful incentive for the government. When I die, they get it with all those back taxes wiped out. Biden wants to eliminate that.
And why? That's what I don't understand.
Because he wants to whack people that ever arrived, quote unquote, at a successful place.
They want to penalize success. It's either our way or the highway. And you do it on your own. How dare you? You know, no, you need us government people or a program, you know, and they want to grow government because, you know, this is what
anyone who owns real estate needs to pay attention to this. Well, I mean, business in general.
Sure.
But Biden's plan is going after real estate investors.
Yeah.
He's going after them. And the more you make, the higher percentage you will pay. I mean, 39.6 is the that's his top ordinary income tax. Could you imagine 40%? You have a 40% partner in your life that does nothing? No.
That's a good way to put it. 40% partner.
It's
that
a partner.
Does nothing.
It's just a partner in your business.
Waiting for you to make money so they can grab.
Just send me the money. Send me the money. So I look at this and it really is scary, the tax plan that Biden's proposing. And there's other things buried in there too that I haven't even talked about.
Well, you know,
But I'll tell you right now, that's very painful, and it's just going to spur productivity. People aren't going to produce and infuse capital back into the economic environment.
Well, this is a gentleman, tongue in cheek, Biden, that is, who, you know, has made wealth for himself, you know, in big government and his family and so forth.
Well, I just read that he paid $300,000 in income taxes last year. So you have to make a lot of money to send. So done well. And God bless him. You know, do your thing.
Sure.
Okay.
But where I was going with this, because I've read some of this, is that in the past, so much of the money that he's made, he has also hidden, you know, and created S corporations so that, but it's like, okay, so he's the kind of person, he wants you to do it his way unless he gets caught doing it the wrong way. And then, it's like, come on.
I mean, it's unfair. Reward people and incentivize people for productivity the way we always have in the free market. And then the government started inching further and further into our regulatory environments and just stopping us from doing this and penalizing for doing that. And it's an unfair environment. Remember, when you're a risk taker, you need to be rewarded because you're the ones providing the jobs. You know, we have chances of going belly up. When you put yourself out there in this economic environment and take risk and push hard and have sleepless nights, you're producing and you're also bringing people in that produce, and you're a beautiful part of the economic machine.
You're creating,
and it needs to be rewarded.
You're creating an environment of success, not only your own, but you're adding that and showing others how to succeed.
Yeah.
And why would the government want to penalize that, you know, at all levels? And that seems like they want a real quick story, because my brother and I, we ran an ad agency many years ago, you know, and we had some good successes. We had some great companies, the Kohler. Few people know that Kohler made engines, you know, Kohler, and they were once in the business of race cars. And where I'm going to with this is that, so my brother and I, we had some good successes, and at least three times in our history, we would have a good article written about our success at the time, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Okay.
And I will tell you, each time that appeared, probably within a week or 2 weeks, the IRS was in our office wanting to look at our books, make sure that we were, quote, I'm sharing that with you.
Wow.
That's a real, real story.
You've arrived. You've succeeded. Now we have to look into you.
Oh, yeah.
Most Isn't definitely. That something?
So now.
So
in that time.
I would say mind blowing, but nothing blows my mind anymore.
So in that time, my brother and I, we were pretty successful. We employed 11 or 12 people full time, but we also hired people that did a lot of work for us outside. For example, we did a lot of work for GE Medical. A lot of that work was done in German, if you will. We did the translations, or we hired some real professionals to do that. But internally, we did the typesetting in that language. We had the skills and all of that. Where I'm going with this is that so we're having those successes, creating those opportunities, but when we're doing that, we're getting punished. And so after I left my job, the IRS then says I owe them $100,000, you know, and because I found that out because I went to refinance my home and the bank wouldn't give me a refinance loan because the IRS had attached a lien against me. Now, that lien was because they claimed that these people that I had hired that had their own 1099s and they were supposed to be paying their taxes. We did it efficiently.
Right.
But because they couldn't find them and they didn't collect the taxes from them, now they came after me, perfecto, you owe us those taxes. I'm telling you, so the fight was tremendous. I ended up paying a penalty, not that much, but that shouldn't have happened.
No, that shouldn't have happened. No.
So what I'm saying is that, you know, success should not be penalized.
And it seems to be every time we turn.
Seems to want to do that.
The federal government, I mean, these plans Biden has of penalizing you for being the risk taker. And then you got Trump who's saying, you know what? You're taking risk. You're making capital gains. We're going to reduce it for the reason I said, for just in my own personal life. when I get a tax break, it allows me to grow the company, period.
Right, yeah.
I grow the company, which grows other people under my team, which produces in the productivity world of the economy. And the government doesn't do productivity. They don't.
And now all those people are paying taxes.
Yeah, right. And they increase their tax base with multiple people. It's just, it's a cycle that can continue to infinity if you let it. But, you know, the government clogs that up and they goo it up when it could be a perfectly spinning wheel. They goo up the spokes so you can't totally roll, you know? So I'll tell you what, Perfecto, we can wrap up. I think we've had a really good session. We'll see what some of the feedback is. If you like the show, make sure to share it with a friend. That's really all the payment we ask for. The show is free. Just share it with a friend. You know, you can listen to it on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Music, Google Play, all the platforms, you know. And we're going to do more of this. I had fun with Perfecto. Like I said, we do our radio show locally here.
Can we plug that?
And we're going to do, yeah, we can plug it. It's the Valor Latino show.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay, I've been hosting the show for
I'll let you talk.
But it's called Valor Latino, Sunday mornings here Midwest time, Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. on WISN News Talk Radio. And that's the station that carries the Rush Limbaugh show and other conservative shows and such. But I've been fortunate to do this show for going to my 17th year, and Nick Ruiz has joined me the last 2 weeks, and we're having more fun than ever, and we may change things in a more positive way. So it's been a pleasure for me, Nick, to be with you this today.
Yeah, so. And I think we'll be doing this again soon. So that's all for now. Again, I think we changed the show to Alpha Uncut. again, same. It's Nick. You should be able to still stay subscribed on all the platforms. We're just changing the name to Alpha Uncut. I think it's a killer name, and it just encapsulates more of what I want to talk about. And it's uncut. There's not a lot of BS we have to worry about, where it's just raw banter between me, Perfecto, and another guest. Who knows what'll happen here? But it's going to be a lot of fun.
So lots of fun.
Thanks for listening, guys. Share it with a friend. Rate and review the show. See you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Success from Scratch. Make sure to subscribe and feel free to leave us a rating and review. And most importantly, make sure to share this episode with someone who needs to create financial freedom and generational wealth. To continue the conversation, head over to our social channels. Follow us on Instagram at Alpha Home Flipping. On Facebook, find us at facebook.com/Alpha Home Flipping. And on YouTube, go to youtube.com/Nick Ruiz. For complimentary courses and real estate resources, go to alphahomeflipping.com.